Welcome back to Golf DMV, talking golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, and beyond. I'm coming up in a month. We'll be talking golf in Orlando.
Yep.
And we'll be talking about TPC Sawgrass because we're going there. Speaking of that, LB's here. LB, what's up?
Hey.
Also got Vern here. Vern, what's going on?
What's happening?
Speaking of the TPC Sawgrass trip, the deadline to give LB the money for the house was when?
Was the 31st of January.
We're recording this on February 6th. Who hasn't given you their money yet?
Claude.
That would be you.
That would be me. Sorry, I'm late.
And I just got Reggie's today.
Reggie was late too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're technically
Two out of five is late. That's not right. A good percentage.
No, that's
and
not.
This, and hence, this is why I don't like having to deal with the money part of the trip.
Talked about this in the episode where we did how to plan a golf trip and how you always do it. And so people should go back to that podcast and listen to it.
Yeah.
And he'll voice his frustrations about people saying, I want to go, but then they never really confirm. Yeah. And then when they do confirm, they don't pay.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the ones who pay late. Apparently, Vern paid way early.
Vern was the first to pay. He paid before I paid.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
I got Rodney's. He gave me his this week when I saw him in Louisville. He actually handed me a check.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I have it here.
Speaking of Vern paying, new mics courtesy of Vernon Brown, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, no,
beautiful, thank you so
beautiful
much.
Mics.
Really
beautiful
nice
mics.
Looking mics.
Let's try to try to bring up the show, man. We got to get that press pass. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, speaking of the show, we've got a lot going on. LB back from Louisville. We'll talk about that. We've got a Manny Millions and an Olivia Millions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about what that means coming up. Played at Lake Presidential, Vern and I, so we'll talk a little bit about that because it was like 65 degrees February 2nd or 3rd here in the DMV. And so we got a chance to get out. Yeah, 3rd because the 3rd was the was Monday. Got a chance to get out then. Also, I know I found a left-handed instructor.
Oh, perfect.
We'll have more on that.
Okay.
Vern knew about this the whole time.
Yeah.
He knew about it, but he didn't mention it.
Oh.
We'll talk about that later.
Apologies to everyone.
LB still loves the LPGA Tour, or so we think.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get to that. Maybe not. Okay. It just depends on how the show goes for other reasons. And so we'll see how that goes out. LB was without a phone for a long time. We'll get to that as well. And a couple of stories about the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGL. And so we'll talk all about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Oh, that thing. Okay. Yeah. Lost me for a second.
Oil money.
Right. Yeah.
If I could Saudi oil. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. So anyway, if I could just do a quick personal thing for a second.
It's your show.
It's our show.
Yeah.
It's the DMV show. Okay. You know, it's called DMV.
All the tools are yours. So,
yes, right. Yeah. This is my stuff. Yeah. Well, except the mics. But anyway, as we pointed out. So here's the thing. So the past 3 days or so, I had the privilege of working, as I do every now and again, on the Tony Kornheiser Show, my favorite podcast.
Right.
This one's not my favorite show.
Right.
I host it. I have fun. I think it's a funny show. This is not my favorite show.
Be honest. This is news to me, too. I learned something new today
because I didn't know that either.
My favorite show is the Tony Kornheiser Show. I like this show better. But anyway, got a chance to work his show. His son, Michael, who's an avid golfer, played in college, played through high school. He actually coaches at Murray, I believe. Every day I come in, like, hey, how's things going with the Golf DMV crew? And so I invited him on the show.
Right.
He's never come on the show.
Not to date, he has not.
And so every time he asks me how's the show, I'm like, Mike, you can come on anytime you want to,
anytime
man.
You want.
Anytime you want.
Open invitation.
On. Exactly. Yeah. Because he knows like golf stuff from course designers to grass and all other kinds of stuff that we don't really cover a whole lot. Although I feel like Vern knows this stuff. And his golf IQ is higher, but he brings it down to fit into what we do here on the show.
I don't want to lose people. Like you said, to start talking about Bermuda grass. And
so I get nerdy on us.
Yeah.
I feel like you can do that. I feel like you can go Bermuda grass. You can go
I'll tell you what. Maybe
course
not about
designers.
Maybe not about the course, but about the swing. Yeah, I can get deep.
And equipment.
And equipment. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way. Oh, well, we'll talk
about that. And new shoes. Don't forget shoes.
Yeah. All style.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All day. Yeah.
So, well, speaking let me put that on the rundown. Speaking of new equipment, we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. So, yeah, I had a chance to work with Tony Kornheiser. I've got this show, don't give it to Tony. You know, gave me this.
Right.
I do get paid to work the show when I'm in working.
Right.
But he said,
it's not a favor.
I wouldn't do the show for a hat. I mean, because that show, listen.
Don't pay the bills. Right?
Execution-wise, it's not a tough show for me to do.
Okay.
But the amount of people that listen and who is sitting to my left, which is Mr. Tony, that's a lot of pressure.
Right.
And so that's too much pressure for a hat.
Right.
But I mean, I get paid to do it, and I love being there.
Yeah.
But this hat was cool. So I'll wear it. Yeah, you know, right. I'll put it on. And,
it's a nice looking hat.
Right. And shout him out on Golf DMV, although I don't think he'll listen.
Probably not.
But I will tag on social media the TK Littles group. because his fan base is strong
deep.
And yeah,
deep too.
And yeah. Super yeah. deep. Yeah, oh mm-hmm. yeah. So we'll I'll tag them
on
this.
Some golfers in there.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sure.
Some people who can convert, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, some people who, you know, listen to the show and may have connections at their local golf club, mm-hmm. look, email us, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. You may right. not be able to get Mr. Tony to play at your mm-hmm. golf club, but you can get us.
Yes.
We will as come. Long as you pay. I mean, listen, and honestly, like, Mr. Tony's not going to come play at your right. your he's local not, muni around coming. The corner from your house.
Nope.
We will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get the next best thing.
Yes.
Tony go. Adjacent.
Right, right. Because Tony's not going to come. We'll come.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so email us, golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com. All the TK Littles. And Michael Lear, he listens to the show. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was really fun. The second thing, so Vern and I played Lake Presidential on Monday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Played in air quotes.
Yeah.
Your swing didn't hold together?
No, we'll get to
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So my clubs are in the car. But fast forward a few days later so it's 65 degrees that day, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You fast forward in the DMV, it starts to rain. It's getting cooler on Thursday, the night we're recording this. In Alexandria, Virginia, recording with a client. We wrap up at her house, pack up my stuff, get in the car. I'm driving down the street, turn the corner, and like things just don't feel or sound right. Mm-hmm. But I've got my earbuds in, I'm listening to music.
Okay.
The car just doesn't feel right.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, what's going on here? So I stop, the car feels a little uneven, and I'm just thinking, gosh, I hope this is not a tire. Like,
you already know.
Be the transmission, like be anything.
Wow.
Because I can maybe make it to a shop, or I can get, you know, a tow truck to come, or I'll just sit here for a second and just hope that it gets better.
Sit there and hope it gets better.
Hope it fixes itself. I bet it. Turn the car off, turn it on.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'll hear it now. Right. Turn the radio up.
Try to hit control, alt, delete.
Turn the heat off.
Yeah. Just like, maybe it'll work, right? And I get out, and it's raining, it's pouring down, and it's a tire.
Yeah.
And so I go in the trunk. I'm like, all right, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to do what I got to do, and I'm just going to change your tire. I've changed tires before. I know how to do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. By the way, I remember maybe 12 years ago, there was a guy, adult male, older than me, who called me up one time because his tire was flat. He didn't know how to change
the tire.
He didn't
know what to do.
Really?
Wow.
And so I literally drove out to Landover somewhere and taught some guy close to 40 how to change a tire.
Sad state of affairs. I can't even blame millennials on that one either.
Right. He's too old to not know that.
Yeah.
Did you take his man card?
It seemed like he felt bad already.
I still would have took it.
His man card is something I can physically do, right? So I'll take it now.
Well,
give me that man card right now.
I would have talked so much smack as I was showing him, and I wouldn't have touched the thing. I would have pointed and directed.
This is what you do.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't have touched the thing.
Let me just encourage all of our people out there, like, teach your boys, you know.
And your girls and your daughters. Yep.
Like, you know, basic
stuff.
Things. How to change a tire. So you're
what
never
to do
stuck.
When you, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
get so to the side of the road. Don't get on that side. Get on your tires busted on the right side. Get on the right shoulder.
If
it's on the left, you know, to get over that side. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
So I pull over and I'm like, okay, I'm prepared to get drenched because it's raining, but I'm going to change this tire because I'm not going to be in Alexandria waiting for a tow truck. I can change the tire.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then just something about being a man, you're like, I'm not rain, whatever. I'm going to get out of here. I haven't done manual labor in a few years. And so, I do radio. Like, I don't do manual labor. I haven't got my hands dirty in a while.
In a minute.
I mean, the most dirty my hands get is, you know, when I'm uprooting the banana tree outside
grass.
The front of my house. Yeah, and I'm trying to put it in a pot for the.
At least you do that.
Exactly.
I pay somebody to do that. I hate grass. But anyway, yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I can do this. I manual labor. Let's, you know, just because every now you just want to make sure you keep it real. So I get out the car. And I open the trunk, and what's in there? My
golf
bag
gloves.
With the golf umbrella. The big one.
Right.
And I'm like,
the 60-inch joint.
There you go.
Saved my life.
Golf
saved you. I was like, man, you know, because if it wasn't for that round Monday, the golf bag wouldn't have been in the
car.
The umbrella wouldn't have been there.
Yep.
And so I made myself a little shelter from the rain, like I'm on Naked and Afraid. That's the Discovery Channel or
Discovery. Yeah,
Discovery. Yeah. Myself a little fort, you know.
Oh my goodness.
A rain fort.
Where are you? On like one or?
No, so I'm on a back row, like La Grande.
East Curtis or something.
Yeah, like I think like East Curtis. So I make my fort and then I take out my golf towel to put it on the ground because now that I got a fort, I can't get my clothes wet. I might as well go all the way.
Yeah,
I might as well go all the way metrosexual now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was down for the, you know, grunting manhood wet stuff. But then I saw the umbrella. It's like, okay.
Until you realize you had tools.
Right. So it's like, I can refer it back to, you know.
You got tools, you may as well use it.
Yeah, go clean claw. And so I put the towel down under the fort. It didn't get wet. It took me a couple minutes, you know, to make sure I didn't hit the umbrella a little bit. But then, you know, the 20 minutes and the tire's done.
There you go.
So golf saved my life.
There you go.
That's the point of the story.
That's the whole point of this meaningless.
Bring your golf stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, keep it, keep your golf stuff in the car.
Keep it in the car. It may save you.
Never know when you might need it.
Exactly.
That's right.
And there were some sketchy Caucasian people in the area, and so I wanted to make sure I had a club near me.
Exactly. Near you. Yeah.
Tire iron.
Yeah.
So like, sir, do you live here? The crowd starts to gather around.
Obviously, I'm changing the tire.
Is it your tire? Whose tire is that?
Taking the wheels off that? I'm stealing the wheels off a 2007 Camry. Get out of here. No.
Oh, man.
So speaking of Lake Presidential, let's talk a little bit about our round. We got a chance to get out and play.
Yeah.
I pull up, maybe 10 minutes. Yeah, 10 minutes before our tee time, something like that. I run in. Vern's already at the driving range, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pull out and play. To me, the biggest thing from the round, well, two things. I got my driver, the newer driver, I got the shafts shortened.
Right.
Oh, okay. You did.
And I think it made a difference.
Hey, he was dialed in, bro.
Okay.
He was dialed in on the driver. He's being modest.
Okay. Yeah,
he was looking like you out there. Except shorter.
I'm just not taking a shot.
No, you're right. Yeah. I wasn't long. I could just control it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, his control was on point.
And I'll take it.
That's all you need.
No, but it's funny because here's the story of my life from the tee box is I'll hit a drive, and if it's straight, and I'm like, man, I feel good about this.
Right.
And then, like clockwork Monday, then Vern puts his ball in the ground, put tee ball, and he hits his driver. It's 50 yards further than mine. And I'm just like, will I ever be able to hit the ball long? Like, I just... It's disheartening, but I just take solace in the fact that it's in the fairway.
It's short grass.
He hit like the majority of your fairways.
I felt good about that. So the highlight to me for the round, though, were two things. Number one, there was a gentleman there who was on hole number 9.
Yeah.
He works at the club, and they were doing this like deal where if you give him $20 and you hit the green on that par 3, they give you $40 in pro shop credit.
Right.
Oh, okay. Like they do at tournaments.
But if you don't hit the green, he'll still give you $20 in pro shop credit. So basically, no matter what you win, you just win pro shop credit, not your money. We didn't do any of that.
No.
Mm-hmm. But he listens to the show. I mean, we're just sitting there talking afterwards. Mike was his name.
Yeah.
He says, hey, are you got those guys from Golf DMV, the show? Like, And he said he used to work at Glendale.
Yeah.
And he said he remembers us coming up there and doing a couple shows.
He actually recognized Claude's voice.
Wow.
Because he heard him talking. He's like, that's when he was like, yeah, you sounded familiar, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So
about
not
that.
Not my monotone.
Yes, I'm the guy from Golf DMV. That's what I was kind of like,
But no, it was cool that he recognized.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that he recognized. Yeah, I was like, because I was surprised too. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, and then, you know, he kind of followed up. It's like, hey, a nice thing. And he's like, yeah, I heard it one time. I listened to it one time. I was like, all right, I'll take that.
Well, he's lying, though, because there's no way you can listen to that one time and then recognize his voice.
That's true.
He's
heard it a couple times.
So, he lied.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, I'm saying you lied.
Okay. All right.
This is LB. I called you out.
According to him, he wouldn't be listening now.
That's true.
Then if he is listening now, he did lie.
Yeah.
Right. That's good. So he worked at Glendale. So we talked a little bit about that. And then he said, you know, you guys should do a tournament, you know, a golf DMV, like golf tournament.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, well, would you play or, you know, and...
We need to get people out. And that's the challenge. A lot of people, like Claude was saying, a lot of people have ideas about what we should be doing.
Right.
But, you know, no one will help put up the money or the time.
Exactly.
Y'all should do. It's like the last thing any of us needs is more you should do's.
Yeah.
You know, and more
I got my own list.
Yeah,
thank
I got my
you.
Own list on things.
Yeah, pretty much.
But if the Golf DMV community wants to do that, you know, email us golfdmvpodcast@gmail.com if you want to organize a Golf DMV tournament.
Or help us. Or at least assist. You don't, I wouldn't say you have to do everything.
Yeah, I'd be happy if you just
be part of the process.
You don't have to do everything.
Be part of the helping hand.
I'd be curious to see how many people we could get in the tournament. Because it's like, it can't just be Aaron and my dad.
Right, exactly.
And, you know.
Aaron, we emailed the other day. He and I emailed the other day. He's doing good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. I sent Aaron his shirt. He knows this, but it kept getting returned because he wasn't home to receive it from UPS or whatever.
Well, you have to be, it should be put in the mailbox.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then he just said, well, just keep it until I see you again.
Wow, that's interesting.
There's a shirt. How big is it?
Yeah, they roll it up and put it in the mailbox.
Yeah.
We get stuff every day from UPS, FedEx, regular post office.
They just chuck it in there.
And it's stuffed in the mailbox.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm not coming back out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the guy was just upset about it. So yeah, we had that. And then the other thing that was a great takeaway was the fact that, so we pull up because the cart we had was dying.
Oh, my God. Twice.
On the so you front got two nine, different ones and they both.
I mean, this thing is just jerking and jerking and going along. And so we pull up to the clubhouse to trade it in. And the guy says, oh, this is not working anymore. It's like, yeah, he said, well, it's been happening all day.
Yeah.
And he was kind of upset.
He was.
So we're like, hey, man, I get it. You're upset. Just give us another car. Right. So anyway, he pulls another one out and he's out there. He puts Vern's clubs on the cart. And then Garrett from the pro shop, he puts my clubs on the cart.
Yep.
And says, hey, I didn't know you were left-handed. And I said, yeah, man, I'm left-handed. I'm really struggling right now because I want to find a left-handed instructor. And he says, you know I'm left-handed, right? I didn't know you were left-handed. Like, we never talked about this.
Right.
Does anyone remember a few episodes back, Vern took a lesson.
Yeah. So exactly. I was standing in front of him. When he set it up, I was like, oh, yeah, he is left-handed. That's right. Because I remember when he was teaching me, he would take my club and set up like, you know, like a right-hand or whatever. But he had his own club, and I learned this all. Left-handed club.
Right.
And that was the end of that. Never thought to mention to Claude. I don't know how I disconnected it, but I remembered it instantly right when he said it.
I'm like, this golf instructor competition is tearing us apart.
It is.
Can't let this break
and,
us out.
And listen, he immediately, when he found that out, like whoever's in Needwood dropped out of his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm no longer taking lessons there.
Yeah.
And I will drive to, you know, LP to take lessons from Gary because I just want to try it because inevitably, anytime I take lessons from anyone who's right-handed, they always say, and so, yeah, and so with your right hand, what you want to do? Well, for you, it's the opposite because you're left-handed. And then they keep explaining it, and I'm like,
right.
You have to, and so I just want to see if someone else like me,
right.
You know, left-handed, if I can, you know.
Where there's no translation going on, you can just mirror his movements.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll see. So, Garrett, you've got a new client.
Cool.
Have I signed up for anything yet?
Of course not.
No.
No.
I haven't even paid for my golf trip.
Too early.
That's true.
Right. What about you from LP? Vern, by the way, played very well at LP. I think.
I did okay.
You drove the ball well.
I did. Towards the middle there, I started to drive the ball well. I was really working on a lot of these motions to get the club to drop in the slot and everything else. And this is where it was kind of protracted a little bit because imagine swinging the club in a completely new way. Like, imagine trying to learn a new walk. You're going to look real awkward and stupid. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, at least feel that way. Yeah, even if you don't look that way, you feel that way.
That's true. I don't know what it looked like, but it did feel that way. So, I'd have to rehearse, and then hit. But towards the end there, I texted Glenn the other day. Like, I hit a couple 260-yard drives, and I don't even have it down yet.
Right.
So, this is good. The irons, I
feel like your iron game was good, though.
It wasn't too bad. Lots of thin, like, much less erratic than before. Okay. Not as many pulls and stuff like that. So, I think working in the house has helped. I've got the little foam balls I was telling him, and I'm like making like impact drills in the house and chipping and all this other stuff. And then, you know, I do a couple 50, 60, 100 times a day, and hopefully it's going to get better by the time. But basically, I'm not trying to go down to Orlando. This is my one time. You talk about why paying early. The reason I'm so thirsty to pay early is because I have two toddlers at home, and I don't get out very much.
Right.
So, like, for everyone else, I'm like, oh, yeah, the trip is a thing, and it's coming up. Like, I'm marking off days on the calendar.
Right. You got a countdown clock.
I got, like, a release date.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about the trip. So I want to go down there and play well. You know what I'm saying? I want to play like
trash.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. I went Tuesday, when I got back in town Monday, I went to range Tuesday.
Yeah,
it was still kind of nice.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to Blue Mash, of course. Okay. Yeah, and it was two guys on the green.
Okay.
Nobody on the short game area, and nobody on the range. That was it. So I had a place to myself, basically. So I probably hit 75 balls at the short game area.
And then the rest.
And then went down to I didn't use my bucket. These are balls that was just up on the range.
Okay.
On the short game area. Then I went down to the range and kept working on my swing. And so far, it's still holding
together. I was about to ask. Brendan's stuff still holding up?
It's still holding. I probably did half of my bucket on 100 yard shot.
Right.
Had one green that was at 97 or something like that.
Right.
And we talked
I did
about
half
that,
of my like, buckets just on that.
So
on
much
that one
of the
green.
Game. 100 yards and then.
Yes.
We talked about that at LP.
Yeah, at LP, yeah. Yeah, I will say that part of my game was much better. Just like when we played at False Road, I think it was. Yep. Pitching. Yeah. I basically just do the drill and then I'm able to pitch it up, no duffs. So that's good. So this will be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
I'm interested to see get you out on the course before we get to Orlando. You're gonna play before then.
It's all about the weather.
Yeah,
it's all about the weather.
Yeah, it's not cooperating this week. Good Lord,
not at all. So you just talked about when you got back, LB. You were in Louisville. Talk a little bit about the Louisville
trip. I'll make this kind of fast because I know we're going on time. So I went to Louisville. We left, my wife and I went down on Friday morning. So we went to Rodney's house. Anthony, who's another friend, I met Anthony through Rodney. They were in the Army together. So I've known Anthony probably 25 years, probably something like that. So Anthony's originally from New Orleans. So it was his idea, because he knew the Saints was going to the Super Bowl, that we were going to have the seafood fest at Rodney's house. And he's, because he's New Orleans, and he likes to cook.
He's decent.
Well, I told him this as I was eating this gumbo on Sunday. I told him, Anthony, I had my doubts about you, to be honest with you. Because I ain't never seen, I know you, you know, most people say, oh, well, big people can eat. Anthony, big boy. I mean, you know, he ain't missed no meals.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And people say, big people can cook. And that's not necessarily true.
Right.
No, it's not.
Anthony can cook.
Okay.
His gumbo was really, really, really good.
Is he from Louisiana?
Yeah, okay. He's from there now. So okay.
He can cook because he's big, or can he cook because he can cook?
I'm assuming. Chicken and egg. That may be why he is big. He can cook.
Right.
I don't know the scenario how it all goes about.
All right. If you're a big person and you want to cook for us, email us at gofmvpodcast@gmail.com.
But it was really good. We had a great time. So Anthony was there, his wife, Delidia, and his daughter, Michaela, and Rodney, Michelle, and Ronnie was there as well, and I met a brother named Chad. He was there.
Ronnie
is Michelle's cousin.
Ronnie. I've never heard of him.
Ronnie.
Yeah, brother named Chad. Small group. I like those guys, because my name's Vernon. Nobody's named Vernon. Old name, white name. Got it.
But yeah, we had a really good time. I drank a lot too much on Saturday.
How much is too much?
That.
Take us through your drinking day.
Okay. So I started. So we got to their house and everybody was getting sick.
This is coming from someone. I don't think you mind me saying this. So I'm asking someone who said drunk too much from years ago when you had texted one time you were down at a Florida Kentucky football game.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he texts saying, I'm literally just leaning on the wall.
Yeah.
He just texted that to try not to fall. So what's the drinking too much? Take me through.
We get to the house that morning, probably about 11 or no, about noon or something. Brendan and I went out. We did a lot of looking for bourbon and rye. So I bought back like 5 bottles of whiskey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Angel's Envy was on sale for Angel's Envy rye, which here it's like $100.
It's like $100 a bottle.
It was on sale for $70.
Woo.
And we were in Total Wines looking at it. And another guy said, you know, it's another store, such and such, is having it on sale. And I was like, really? He said, for $70? I said, oh. Where? I put this up back on the shelf. Right. Hey, where did he say?
Don't need this.
Roddy, you know where that is? And we all got in the car and left and went to this other place and this other liquor store and basically went and talked to the owner.
Right.
Well, I talked to one lady and she said, no, it's not on sale. I'm like, well, somebody just told us it was. She said, well, I don't know. I forget his name. I have his car. He's the owner. Ask him. So I walk up and ask him. I said, hey, I understand you got an Angel's Envy on sale. Right. He said, how many bottles you want? I said, how many you got?
Yeah. So this is the story of how much drinking is too much. How many bottles of whiskey do you have? That's the not how much should I drink? How much is available?
How much is here in the store?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Right, because I took back enough that I knew I could get in my suitcase. So I only took five. But back to my drinking. So we get back to the house and it's like 2 o'clock. We're starting to cook up some stuff or whatever.
Right.
So I started in then on Grey Goose and I had a couple cigars.
Okay.
That was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. Okay. So we didn't go out until 9. Mm. We need to go out till 9.
Okay, 7 hours.
Right. And then at some point after dinner, after we ate, somebody pulled out tequila shots. And I think that's what got me.
Tequila
shots.
It always does.
Yeah, because we had, I think I probably had 5.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
5 or 6 shots.
I was going to say like 2 or 3. No.
Right. And then we get to the club. And the club is Jerry Green and Friends. Anybody's ever gone to Louisville, you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
He is an institution. He's a legend.
Okay.
And what's the name of the place?
It's called, the guy's name is Jerry Green, but his Jerry Green and Friends.
Okay. Is the name of the club?
It's in the basement of a hotel.
Okay.
It's no name brand hotel, but it's a hotel it's a landmark in the Louisville area. He's a cross between like a Lou Rawls and a Sammy Davis Jr. lounge singer type guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Yeah. But it's really entertaining because he's talented.
but he's
Not quite.
Yeah, he's
one of these guys where you can't tell if he's a good bad singer or bad good singer.
Right. Yeah, he's kind of like that. Yeah, he's very theatrical and stuff. Yeah. I'm talking sequence shoes and jacket.
He's entertaining.
He's an entertaining on a small
level. Yeah.
I mean, he'll get into the music, roll around on the floor.
You don't mind going to the basement of a hotel to see him.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
That's true.
You go around the corner, you can get a styrofoam box full of chicken wings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's
not a residency to Bally's. I got you.
It's a fun spot. We go all the time.
Yeah, sure.
But I think the tequila what put me over the top.
So the tequila was five shots before this.
This is before nine.
Wow. Are you feeling like I should probably not go out before?
No doubts at all.
That's about five bottles of whiskey.
I'm psyched up. Right, I'm psyched up. We're gonna have a good time. Uh-huh. So when we get there, I order a round of drinks for everybody. So that's one.
Right.
And then I come back. Me and Brent and I dance. We dance a lot. So we go, you know, when Jerry's not in the way, because he's like trying to sing and stuff on the dance floor and stuff. You know, it's crazy. So we finally, then I come back to the table. There's another Grey Goose on the table. Roddy, I think I bought me another one.
Took that.
And then, so I drank that. And then I come back, you know, one point I go dance again. I come back. There's another drink there.
Right.
And I'm not the kind of person, you're not going to put alcohol in front of me and I'm gonna leave it.
Right.
That ain't what I do.
That's how we arrived where we got.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how we got. That's how we arrived. Yeah. So this Sunday. So I think I only had three there.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus the tequila. Plus what I had started drinking at two until.
Right.
So it all added up to. I was pretty lit by the time we got.
Now, at what point upon waking up did you realize you had made a mistake?
Well, I wouldn't call it a mistake. That's an overstatement. But I would say
just over dinner.
Yeah. Right. So Sunday when we get to that, we go back to Rodney's house because we stayed at the Hilton down the street. So when we come back to get to Rodney's house, Sunday, first thing I immediately do is I get a blanket.
Yep.
I get in the recliner and I turn on the farmer's insurance was on.
Right, right.
I get in front of the TV, I recline my seat, and I'm there for about 4 hours.
Oh, wow. For the broadcast.
Pretty much.
Wait. Waste management.
No, it's in the morning.
Waste management, right?
Waste management. Yeah. So at some point, I even put the blanket like over my head and took a little nap. And nobody would bother me. I can hear people going past it, but nobody messed with me. And then about maybe about three, I got up and I felt better.
Fetch yourself again a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then by the halftime, I was drinking again.
Well, I mean, you had, you know, five bottles of whiskey.
But I brought all them home intact, so they all.
I took
a bottle for Rodney to have it. You got to put a bottle on the shelf.
Sure.
So, you know, I did that.
Yeah.
But he had some other stuff, too, that I was drinking, so, yeah. He has really good. He has a really well stocked bourbon collection.
I believe he should. He lives in Kentucky. Damn better.
Exactly.
If there's anything else to talk about from Louisville, we'll talk about it on the other side of this break. You got top of the hour news coming up. If you're listening on Federal News Network, if you're listening to on the podcast, then you've got some. We've got an ad for Cache Spine Sports coming up. You listen to Golf DMV.
Hey folks, this is LB from Golf DMV. As many of you know, I've had neck and lower back issues for a while, but I found a chiropractor who's been able to keep me in the game. Her name is Dr. Smith at Cache Sport and Spine. She's conveniently located in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside the Beltway. Dr. Smith has made a huge difference in my flexibility and pain management. If you need a chiropractor, do yourself a favor and contact Dr. Smith and her staff at 301-641-5693 or online at cachesportspine.com. The official chiropractor of Golf DMV.
Welcome back to Golf DMV. Brought to you in part by Cache Spine Sports. You can go to CacheSpineSports.com for more information. I do not have the phone number up yet, but I will get it before the end of the segment. I saw the way Lawrence was looking over here at me.
I knew what was coming.
Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about the. Did you have any more Louisville shout outs?
No, I think I got everybody, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got everybody.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So I'm glad you made it back safe.
Yes. Oh, it's a ball. It's a ball. I have a ball every time I go.
Absolutely. Yeah. And shout out to Rodney for being, I'm assuming, a great host.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're good on that. Let's talk a little bit about the Manny Millions and the Olivia Millions. The Manny Millions from the Waste Management.
One of my favorites. We're going next year.
Right. I'm definitely down for that. I mean, because to me, the golf season officially begins at the Waste Management. I mean, right. You know, the people act like clowns on 16.
But did you all see
I'm not going to go on 16, but I mean.
No. It's so dope, though, to look at the leaderboard, because in all the other tournaments, it's like American flag, South African, Spain, blah, blah, blah. On the Waste Management, you can tell who has an appetite for it and who doesn't.
Right.
Because it's like all Americans.
Yeah.
Did you see the Twitter, real quick, did you see the Twitter video of when Ricky was walking, what they were chanting?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Big D Rick. Big D Rick. So they kept chanting it, and the only way to get him to stop is he had to tip his cap, and then they went crazy. And then also, real quick, there was a woman flashing putters. She was flashing herself at guys putting on, like, 16 or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I think I said something about that.
Yeah.
And you heard about the guy who stole somebody's alcohol and then jumped over a fence and then fell into a creek and then had to be saved.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other story. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was drunk, obviously.
Yeah.
But he stole somebody's stuff. I forget, from a fan or from whomever.
Right.
But he was just trying to escape. He jumped over a railing.
And then fell into the creek.
And fell into the creek. And then he realized, he said, well, I'm going to swim away. But he swam a little bit and realized.
The creek had other ideas.
Right. I can't make it.
Yeah.
And they had to come rescue him.
What a
dope. Took him to jail. But yeah.
Speaking of Ricky Fowler and that whole name, and so he was asked about that, and apparently this is what he said. He said, it's been going on for a few years now. It's really growing. The name, I mean. That's why you love Ricky Fowler.
Right, unintentional comedy from Ricky Fowler.
It's really growing.
Yeah.
The name, I mean.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked something, Rick.
Right. Because you got no wins.
By the way, the phone number for Cache Spine in sports, 240-219-8975. The official chiropractor
of Golf DMV.
Cache is spelled C-A-S-H-A-E. CacheSpineSports.com.
Cool. All righty. Did you see the on the? I know they showed it. You probably saw the same feed I saw when they showed at 6 a.m. whatever it is when they open the gates.
Yes,
and the people running in trying to get to seats. And
yes, it looks like a stampede.
Yes, yeah. No way in the
black. I'm not doing that.
We're not doing that.
No.
At all.
And meanwhile, you watch the rest of the tournament. There's no one else. There's no one out on the course following players for the most part.
It's pretty much 16. Yeah. Everybody wants to get into the stadium.
Sitting there drunk.
I'll be following players elsewhere.
No, the other thing I wonder about too is like for the players who I like the atmosphere, but for the guys who are down for the tournament, they go to 16, they get up for it, and then in the very next tournament, they're hitting and it's back to regular rules. If I sneeze during their backswing,
right?
Come on,
exactly.
So, hey, I'm just yelling big D Rick.
Right,
right, right.
Nothing happened to them.
Nothing happened.
Right, right.
Yeah. You can play with noise. Yeah. That's my point. That's my point.
Right. Yeah, if I'm not heckling you. Remember the story of Corey? Like,
It wasn't Tiger.
Jim Furyk?
No, it was, I want to say it might have been Leishman or, because he was a tall guy. I forget. It may have been
getting
Leishman.
Teased. And then they boo, like, when you miss the green. I love that.
Yeah, right.
I love that. They, like, cheer for you, then immediately just boo for you. It's crazy. But anyway, yeah, sorry.
All right. So, well, let's talk about the tournament, the Waste Management. Tony Finau.
Oh, I
was rooting for him. I know most people were.
Yeah.
But to me, he lost it on hole number 17.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he put it in the fairway bunker right in front of the green, everybody else hit drive. Well, he went first and he hit a wood and it came up short and went in that bunker.
That was this is the hole where he had to make the par putt, right?
Right.
To put it away.
No, it was 18.
That was 18. So he lost it at 17.
In my opinion, he lost it before that.
On the hole before the putt.
He lost it before that. The hole before that, because it's a par four. Most people were driving the green. Because
at 17, he was still up two.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, I remember. Right. Okay.
So he was
but
up.
But if he does make that putt, he puts it away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But he could have. That wouldn't have been an issue
if
he had at least birdied 17 like everybody else did on 17.
Right.
He hit a wood and it came up short into that in the front bunker, which is about 80 yards in front of the green. Who won?
Webb Simpson.
Hit a driver, goes over that bunker and is at the front of the green.
Mm-hmm.
So he two putts for a birdie.
For birdie.
Because he's back in that bunker.
Right.
He gets out, but you know, and he two putts for a par.
Yeah, strange play because Tony Finau's not short on power.
Exactly.
Or anything.
And even because when the announcers even said, you know, when they were talking about his strategy and stuff, they never even mentioned the bunker because they knew he was going to hit it over the bunker.
Right.
And then when they hit the bunker, they was like, guys, one announcer, I didn't, that wasn't even the conversation because I just knew he wasn't going to hit it in the bunker. Right.
Guys right. get in their own head like Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Graps.
Right. So, yeah, that, to me, that's mm-hmm. where he lost the tournament. Okay. But, you know, it is what
and
it
then,
is.
And then, you know, the next hole, he goes on to par that, right. birdies it. And right. They go to a playoff, and the same exact thing
exact
happens.
Same spot.
He has to make a putt to continue, and he just didn't make it.
Yeah,
he choked it away. I don't say he choked it away. He didn't win it.
Right.
He didn't win it. Webb Simpson won it. Yeah. Exactly. He did not win
he
it.
He did not
yeah,
win
100%.
I agree 100%. All right. So the Manny Millions for the Waste Management was Bo Hostler, who has been on, he's been a Manny Millions. He has been a Manny Millions winner with us before. Mm-hmm. He was plus five. He won $15,549. So I'm going to go back in my notes and find him from. When is this was?
This was last time that he's
year.
Last place.
Yeah. Where he was in last place. So I'm gonna give you interesting. Hey, how about this? The last time he was in last place, right. he was plus five too.
Ah.
Yeah. And he won $15,825.
Very consistent.
He's a consistent. Manny Millions All Star.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah,
he might be. We should give him an award.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think coming out of the University of Texas, he had more hype than Jordan Spieth did at
he
the
did.
Time.
I yes, he did. I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now neither one of them can play.
Right, exactly. Because he can't make a cut to save his life.
No,
speaking of Jordan Spieth.
Oh, man.
Although he still strikes fear in the hearts of golf. Right. He hasn't been the same since then.
Bro, it does make me chuckle when I go into Dick's Sporting Goods and they have his like big cutout and he's looking all fierce.
Right.
I look at him like, I'm scared of you.
Right. He's going to write put little circles around his eyes with a magic marker.
Yeah.
And it was just the time when he was when you thought he was unbeatable. It was the time
true.
When he just looked like,
that's
I mean,
true.
that Masters that he lost by putting two in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took something from him.
Yeah.
And he's been fighting to get it back.
He was drinking his own Kool-Aid.
He's been fighting to get it back, and he can't get
ever
it back.
Ever since.
So about Bo, we're not going to talk about him because we've talked about him before. I'll just give you the particular 6'1", 195. He's 24 years old. He's single. He's from California, and he likes coming in last place. Okay. So we're going to move on.
All right.
To a new, a semi-new deal. Because I pay attention to the LPGA a little bit more now, we're going to do what I want to call the Olivia Millions. And this is Olivia is Vern's oldest daughter, an only daughter.
Only daughter.
Only oldest child.
Only, yeah,
oldest,
only daughter.
Yeah, only oldest daughter.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There aren't any more out there. No
more.
So this is from the Gainbridge LPGA. At Boca Rio, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now. And the winner, last place winner, is Allie McDonald. She finished at plus 13. She won $4,015. Allie is 5 foot six and 28 years old. She's from born in Tupelo, Mississippi. I don't have her weight or if she's married or single because the LPGA doesn't give us that information.
Not a lot of stats on the players.
No, not even a Wikipedia page at all. So I don't know if she's married.
Come on,
I did look at her Instagram page before my phone died, and I saw a bunch of pictures of her like at weddings for other people, but she was never the bride. She was always a bridesmaid or whatever. Yeah,
never
something
the bride.
Like that. Yeah, so here
that's
we
okay,
go.
Allie, keep your head up.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, she'll get it one day. Let's see. So she turned.
won't we all?
Yeah, that's true.
She turned pro in 2016. She from she went to Mississippi State University. She joined the LPGA Tour in 2017. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Pay attention. She got zero wins.
Oh.
She has zero second places. No third. Let me start over.
Okay.
Because my notes are. I see how I wrote it now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, she was born in 1992.
Yep.
How old would that make her?
My thing said 27 or 28. Okay. One place said 27. One place said 28.
27. I guess she turns 20.
Yeah, she's a year younger than my sister, which is reference for everyone who knows my sister.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah, now. Yes, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah, everyone knows her now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. She turned 28 October 25th.
Okay. All right. So she's 27 now. She has zero wins. She has zero second place.
Mm.
She has two third places, and she has four top tens.
Okay, two third places, four top tens.
Right. She's played in 74 events.
Oh, goodness.
And she's made 54 cuts.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
She's making cuts.
Made a lot of cuts.
Yeah, she's making cuts. What is her career earnings? And she just started in 2017.
Right.
And this is LPGA.
I'm going to lose $1.4 million.
$1.4 million. I'm going to say, I don't know. Probably a quarter mil.
$250,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
He got one.
1.2 million.
My first win ever.
Good job.
Yeah, so that's.
You see how Little Brown Vice, the old PGA tournament. $4,000. I didn't know what that was like.
So, some other quick notes about the LPGA. Michelle Wie is Prego, and she's due sometime this summer.
Who is she engaged to?
She married to Jerry Wyndham. Jerry West's daughter. Jerry West's son.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Jerry West? I think it was. We talked about this years ago.
Let's look this up.
Oh, I wasn't
episodes.
Here.
Episodes.
Yeah,
past.
Johnny West.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like a cartoon name?
Really?
Yeah, this would be like, Batman sidekick. Right.
Johnny West.
But really? Johnny Quest.
Yeah, Johnny
Johnny
Quest.
That's what reminds you of
the old cartoon.
Previously on Johnny West.
From the '50s.
Huh. Yeah, so she's Prego. She's going to be, she's due this summer.
You know, good for her. She's got a life. I mean, after being like on the PGA tour at the age of 13 or whatever you know what I mean? That spectacle of a thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, never really quite living up to all the hype.
All the LPGA,
you know, and then dealing with injuries. She's living her own life, you know?
Still on the front of the Nike page, still repping Nike.
It'll be great to have her back, though. I mean, you talk about cutting edge on as far as fashion on the LPGA tour.
Yes.
Just look up Michelle Wie, golf fashion, and hit images.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she was, I mean, even still, like, she's top, like, number one as far as fashion. She could be a fashion consultant on the LPGA tour. Not that these ladies play for fashion, but, I mean, like, she could.
Some of them could, though.
She's cutting edge. I mean, from the high top Air Force Ones and the high top Jordans and the, I mean, just
short
awesome.
Shorts.
Yes. Just awesome. You know what I mean? Like Michelle Wie's fashion is
crazy. She had a drip. She had a drip for sure. For days. Yeah.
So this week, the LPGA is in Victoria, Australia. They're playing the ISPS Handa, S-H-A-N-D-A, Vic Open. I was looking, the cut line was at -2 and Maria Stackhouse and Cheyenne Woods were below it. I hope they can get it together and at least make the cut. That's a long way to go to not make the cut.
That's true.
Allie McDonald, who was our, Olivia Million, was at -4. So she was above the cut line.
Oh, look at her.
Another note on the LPGA, they have canceled the, LPGA Blue Bay event, which is scheduled in March. It was going to be in China. But it's been canceled because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So I mean, we don't even want to get in that.
We don't need those problems.
Yeah, keep that over there.
We don't need that smoke.
Keep that over there. We good over here.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Manny Millions and the Olivia Millions.
Speaking of the coronavirus, did you hear about that Carnival cruise ship where people came back and they have to stay on this ship for 2 weeks?
And they can't leave their rooms, apparently, right?
Yeah,
or
they
something like
stay
that.
Oh, they got quarantine?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and if you have an one of the docs I heard was saying, if you have an inside room, you basically stuck in the closet because you'd have no windows or nothing.
Wow. Cruise ship.
Yeah.
And you're just stuck there.
It's like being in a cell. I mean, it's basically like being in a cell.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no window.
Imagine being there with someone you don't like.
Right.
I mean, like a spouse like that you just have intention with. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
it's
God.
Your fault. I didn't want to come on this cruise in the first place.
Yeah.
By the end of it, you guys got divorce papers drawn up.
Yeah.
Like, you typed it out.
And by that time, there's not even any beef. You're just cordial about it.
Like, that's
true. You're just going to get divorced.
You go through, like, the entire phase of, like, anger and everything else. And now you made up.
Now we're best friends, but we still want a divorce.
Yeah. You leave the cruise ship, you go to the bar, you have a drink, you laugh. Like, oh, this happily married couple. No, we actually just decided we're going to get divorced. Just fine with it now.
And then they're like, it's only been 2 hours.
I know, it's been a long time coming.
It's been building for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like an attorney when it's somebody you don't like. Just saying. I love my wife.
LB, you've been without a phone for a few days.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting story.
So, it's been like a week and a half ago now. I keep my phone on. Most people keep their phones on 24/7. I don't know if y'all do.
Never cut it off.
Because I was using mine as my alarm clock because it's perfect for that. So I never turn it off. So one night in the middle of the, probably 2-3 in the morning, I hear this funny sound come from my phone that I had never heard before. It was really weird. Like, I mean, it was the funniest thing, the weirdest sound.
Okay.
That you would hear coming from your phone. I mean, it was just.
It's not what I want to hear.
Right. You know, because there was enough that I heard it, but I was like.
How early in the morning was this?
It was dark. I mean, it was, I know it was before 5. It was early. It was
did
dark.
Did it wake you up? Like
either A, I was not asleep, or it woke me up. It was one of the two.
What kind of phone is this?
This was a Google Pixel XL.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't my choice. That's a whole other thing about the phone, but. That's what I had. That's what I had.
All right.
So I get up in the next morning. But that morning, I get up and I look at it, and it's like nothing. I mean, it's completely black.
Nothing. Okay.
So I'm, you know, hitting buttons. Nothing has happened. I'm like, oh, great. Because I even woke up late because it was my alarm clock.
Right.
So so I didn't wake up on time.
One device.
Right. You know what I mean?
Ruins everything.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm putzing around with it. I figured out later on that if I, I don't know how I figured this out, but I had it on my way home from work one evening.
Right.
That if I bang it against the steering wheel enough, that it would come back to life. Right. So it did. Well, I was frustrated with it because I'm like hitting the button and stuff. I'm on 270. So I'm like banging it on the steering
wheel.
Playing
drums on your steering wheel.
Right, basically with the phone. And then all of a sudden it comes back to life. I'm like, oh, wow, how about this? So I immediately plug it in. I call home and everything. I'm like, hey, it's working. So I get home. My wife is like, well, don't turn it off. Don't turn it off. Just leave it on.
Right.
But of course, I turned it off.
Why would you do what your wife?
I know. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's resetting.
After starting at the top of the story, saying, you know, we never turned our phones off for anything, and then now you ignore your own logic. Why did you turn it off?
Because I was thinking, well, maybe it's tired because it's been on all this time. It needs some rest.
All right,
maybe it needs some rest.
Remember our conversation with Electric World Robots?
About the machines, yeah.
They don't need rest
or hunger.
like the machine asking me if I'm a robot. Like the machine doesn't need rest. You need the rest. The machine doesn't need the rest.
I'm trying to put human logic into a metal device.
That's why it's broke.
Yeah. So I, the next morning, I get up and nothing. It's back to nothing again.
Bricked, okay.
So because it was my work / personal phone, I had to go through a whole bunch of contortions at work to get my, because it's my phone number in their phone.
Right.
So I'm trying to get my number now back from the company so I can get it back to my personal phone.
Right.
I would never believe it would take this many signatures to get my phone number back from that I'm letting y'all use on your phone, but it's a long story.
Red tape nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotcha. So Vern gave me a phone to use, fortunately, that I am using now, so I'm back into the digital world. But the one thing about it, I will say, after the first 3 to 4 days, after the fourth day,
right,
it was okay.
You know what
I mean? Yeah, because I've been trying to wean myself off of was Instagram.
Yes.
Because I can get on Instagram and you go to
the infinite scroll.
Right. You just scroll until you get to the end and like, oh, I've seen that already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm at the end of Instagram.
Pretty much.
I finished Instagram.
So getting off of that, and when we were in Louisville, I didn't have it either. So, you know, at one point, the whole, I guess 8-9 of us sitting around talking, everybody's laughing a good time. You know, conversation naturally dies down after a while.
Right.
And then everybody immediately picks up their phones.
Yeah, it's become this new reflex for people that don't know where you don't know what to do. So you just kind of like,
yeah, you just pick up your phone and look at something else.
Right. And back in the day, what would you do? Just kind of
sit there quietly.
Yeah.
Just sit there and keep talking until somebody else comes up with another topic to talk about or whatever.
Get up and walk away or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, go get more whiskey.
Right, exactly. Another round of drinks for everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was kind of cool not having it because I didn't feel that compelling need to check my email, check text messages, and you know, see what's going on here. But a bunch of stuff that really doesn't matter.
Right.
So in the phone that you gave me, I couldn't remember my password for Instagram. So I was like, I ain't gonna put it back on there.
Okay.
But then the day it came to me, an epiphany, like, oh, that's what my password is. And I put it back in there. And now I'm almost regretting that I put it back in there because immediately I was like, you know, what did I miss the last 6 days? Yeah. You know what I mean? Nothing.
No. But it's going to get you. Instagram's going to get you. Once you remember, it's like, come on back, man.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like crack.
It is.
Yeah. Once you do crack, you can't go back.
Yeah. It's crazy. I find myself once you do crack. You know, you wake up in the morning and you just open the phone and see emails, text messages, social media. And it's like, no, I got to stop that stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, because
so for work that I do in the DMV, I mean, I'm up at 3:30 in the morning, 3:45. And it's like, you know, you get up that early and the first thing you do is grab the phone. I'm like, I've got to wean myself off of that.
Yeah.
I've got to find something else to do. Get up, have some kind of, whether it's stretching, exercise, some kind of routine that's opposite of the phone.
Yeah.
Before I start,
one of the things I've started doing, because especially I did it last week because I had to go to the office all week, so it kind of threw off my workout schedule, is as soon as I got out of bed, the first thing I do is do 50 push-ups.
Okay.
Before I even go in the bathroom.
Nice.
And it takes you, I mean, you're talking a minute out of your day, so it's not really a whole lot of time. You just pump out 50, Go and go do your thing, whatever you're going to do.
For you, maybe not Ernie Els, but.
Well, okay.
Or someone who's Ernie Els like.
Oh, he does the 50 push-ups throughout the day.
Throughout the day, right.
Eventually he gets the 50. Yeah.
But then you come out of the bathroom before you get dressed.
Right.
Bust out another 50. There you go. You done 100 push-ups. And it took you 3 minutes.
Right.
No impact on your day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You haven't lost any time or anything like mm-hmm. that. And you got a little swole going into the office.
That's pretty good. LB is inspiring.
Yeah, no, you're right.
When the alarm goes off for me, like, if I get out of the bed, that's a victory. Keith is like pushing me. Yeah. Get up, get rocking. I'm like, especially this week with the something about the overcast weather and the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. You don't want to get up. Yeah, you don't want to get up. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm glad you at least got a situation going on with the phone and you kind of got it back.
Yeah, there we go. I got a temporary fix thanks to Vernon. I got a new one ordered today. It should be here Tuesday, and I'll be back into the electronic world of nothingness.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Corn Ferry Tour. You got Corn some stuff you tour. Want to talk about the Corn
yes,
Ferry Tour.
The Corn Ferry Tour. Again, doing a little bit of research. The Corn Ferry Tour this week, we'll take it back. Last week, they finished up on the 2nd. They were in Panama. The winner there was Davis Riley. He won at minus 12. His winnings for first place.
Right.
$112,000.
Okay.
That was just for first place.
Panama.
Yeah, they're all over the place. They're Ooh. In, this week they're in Bogota. Mm.
Bogota, Colombia.
Yes. And I was, the first thing I thought about is that safe?
Right, right. I mean, right. I was thinking about that with Panama. Like, when I think about the struggle these guys have, like, on the court, Amen. Like, grinding to like, right. just get to, like, oh, there's a tournament across the country. Mm-hmm. Now you're like, bro, we got to go to Bogota, Colombia.
Right.
What are they doing down there in the Corn Ferry Tour?
Yeah, they're there this
it's
week.
Real on those Corn Ferry Tour streets.
But I know one person who is not there.
What's that?
And that would be Tommy Two Gloves. Riley is not at the tournament.
Gainey,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Gainey, thank you. I'm sorry.
It's all right. He's not there.
He's not there because he had a court date today.
Oh.
I'm waiting to see the outcome of that. I have not been able to find it online.
You emailed this video of the whole prostitution.
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It was fun.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah. It was.
Did the video show him negotiating the $60?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. He's like, he takes it. I mean, he does like this. He takes the money and it's folded up and he puts hands in it to her and he says,
LB's grabbing money.
Yeah. He's just, you can't see.
Yeah.
And he says, you might want to count that.
I know. Like, it's a big thing.
Right, exactly. I can see $320.
Yeah. Right, she's like, oh, man. I see. It's $60. It's $60.
That's what we agreed to.
Yeah.
You cheap. Man. But he's not there because he was at court today. That's that tournament. The Corn Ferry history. This was something I was curious about myself. So I looked it up. This is the history of the Corn Ferry Tour as we know it today.
Okay.
Okay.
So it was announced in 1989 by the PGA Tour Commissioner Dane Beaman and was formalized by the PGA Tour in 1990.
Willie Beaman. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, was, from Any Given Sunday.
I'm sorry.
Keep
going.
All right. It was originally named the Ben Hogan Tour from 1990 to 1992. Then it was sold to the Nike, was sponsored by the Nike Tour from 1993 to 99. Then it became the Buy.com Tour from 2000 to 2002.
Right.
Then it was sponsored by Nationwide, became the Nationwide Tour from 03 to 11.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, right.
Remember.
And then it became the Web.com Tour from 2012 to 2019.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Because I remember Nationwide, I remember Web.com.
Yep.
All right, it's Golf D&B, folks. We'll catch you next week.